Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So there's an interesting story over at the Washington Post about this group called the Independent Women's Forum. And I get emails from them all the time. They make themselves out to be, they're just moms. You know, they just care about women's issues. And, they're just, just good, strong, independent moms. And, just a grassroots group of women who just, they just want better stuff. Anyway, you find out they're a front group for the Koch brothers and that right-wing policy stuff. So they're shilling for, the state policy network and all the moneyed interests. But they do it in such a down-home, folksy kind of way that it makes you kind of go, maybe they are real. They're not. And what's interesting is you look at all the money that's being spent on messaging and convincing us what is, isn't, and what isn't is, especially on a day like today with all the stuff coming out. And here to share some thoughts on, what really is. I've asked our good friend Lisa Graves to come talk with us. Lisa is the executive director of True North Research. They're a corporate watchdog group. She's been a part of some of the most important investigative and exposing things. You may remember Alec Exposed and all of the things that came out of that media source watch and all of that stuff. She's the one behind all of it. Lisa, thanks for taking time for us.
Rick, it's a joy to be on your show. Thank you so much for inviting me on. I really appreciate it.
So, I'm looking at today as an interesting day. We see the revelations now that rich people don't pay their taxes, Lisa. Rich people hoard their money in offshore accounts. Rich people use tax havens. Wow.
Well, the thing is that as you point out, it's something that we already knew, but it's also the case that the details are pretty extraordinary. And I think this is obviously just the tip of the iceberg. We saw a bit of this in some ways before with the Panama Papers revelations a couple of years back. And this new set of materials in terms of what's been happening with these tax havens, I think there's going to be more to come as more and more people get a look at the materials that have been unearthed, because it's just going to show in some ways, I suppose, what Warren Buffett has said all along, which is it's absurd that he pays less taxes than his secretary as a kind of a net amount. But the reality is that some folks aren't paying any taxes at all, which we know from some of the corporate tax cuts that Charles Koch wanted, that Trump enacted with the help of Mitch McConnell. But this is, putting some names to the faces and some amounts, and also the widespread nature of this from in the U.S. and other countries.
But I look at, again, the messaging that's coming out of today, for me anyway, is you've got Facebook and their algorithm that's pushing the hate and the corporate hate message to keep us pitted against each other. You got the tax people who are robbing us blind, and we're still not getting anything done to move the country forward on infrastructure or investment. And it just seems like if you're the average everyday schmo, literally the world is against you at every opportunity.
Well, it is really stunning, because right now Congress is considering, or has been considering for a while, the Build Back Better agenda. That's part of what people have talked about in this reconciliation for the Congress. But the fact is that as one of my dear friends was telling me about this weekend, study after study has shown that one of the things that really is a driver of division and fear is this economic inequality, is that how much pressure people are facing, how much fear they have about losing their jobs or keeping their jobs. And then you have, as you point out, Facebook just driving further division that is super profitable for them to drive that division. And you have groups like the Independent Women's Forum that you led with, which we've documented over and over, has really been driving such a divisive message despite its independent name.
Right.
But the fact is people are really, people are struggling. And when they're struggling, they're susceptible to those messages of blame someone else. But that Build Back Better package, if it were to go through and provide access to childcare, affordable childcare for families, paid leave for families, there's so many parts of that would really make a material difference in people's lives. And it would release some of the pressure valve that people are under.
No, absolutely. And this is one of the things that I was saying. If you were to take all of this stuff and put it together, Facebook's pushing the anger and the hate. You're getting robbed. Your wages have been stagnant for 40 years. Your healthcare is getting worse. Your pension security's been damn near eviscerated. You're worried about paying for the kids for college. You got all this stuff. And then you got, because you're feeling overwhelmed, I can't change this. Then you got people like the Independent Women's Forum saying, well, you shouldn't have to wear a mask. So now you go, hey, I can change this. I can hold on to, I'm not wearing a mask. And that's where you make your stand, which is just, well, one, goofy, but two, I guess, predictable.
Well, it is, you know, it's been astonishing to watch them in particular over the last year and a half. You know, they opposed reasonable measures to shut down as the pandemic was getting started, as, you know, tens of thousands of people were dying in New York and there were icebox, you know, morgues, trucks, refrigerator trucks for the number of people who were dying, you know, at such a pace. And then you come into this year and they've, you know, been really attacking the vaccines, vaccine rules, vaccine mandates. They've been attacking the health advice of, you know, numerous health officials in the government, including Fauci, but others. And they have really tried, I think, to seize on this mask issue. Their response to that Washington Post story was, oh, no, they were merely calling for a debate in the letter that they were circulating by their policy director, who they try to portray as just an ordinary person who wrote this in the dark of night. She may have written it at night. I don't know. But she's been there a long time policy advisor for them. In fact, she helps lead their effort to attack access to paid leave in Colorado and nationally to try to oppose efforts by progressives to ensure that Americans have access to paid leave. But beyond that, IWF over and over through each of these women who are their fellows, that there's numerous of them, have attacked masks, have attacked the vaccine, have attacked you know, orders and rules to protect kids, to protect teachers. And so, you know, they, you know, they have joined the bandwagon with some of these right wingers as well to try to use the mask issue as a way to I think, motivate the right wing base. And like you said, give them something to focus on instead of other things that actually would make their lives demonstrably better, like the Build Back Better plan, which IWF, you know, strongly opposes.
Right. No, I mean, it's always the, you know, moving the string around for the cat to chase around, or the laser pointer to keep you distracted. Here, the shiny thing, follow this. While we're literally, and we see this all the time, literally being robbed blind. And I keep coming back to, you know, there's a lot of money being spent on convincing us that what's really happening isn't really happening. And, you know, I go back to something my grandfather always said: if a rich guy is going to take a buck out of his pocket to tell you you don't need something, you better spend two to get it. And yeah, we better start spending to reclaim our democracy. We better start acting to reclaim our policy and demanding better from, well, at least the Democrats in this moment, because the Republicans have really shown themselves as the party of, well, the very wealthy and the connected.
Well, that's right. I mean, the tax cut that Charles Koch said was his once in a generation wish list. And then they went to work through Americans for Prosperity, which I call Americans for Greed, but their official name is Americans for Prosperity. And their team, they spent millions to get that tax cut. That tax cut isn't just for Charles Koch. It's for future generations of Kochs. And it's for the future generations of the Mercers, you know, or name your billionaire. It's, you know, could be Bezos. It could be whomever. They don't need those tax breaks. The amount of money that $1 billion represents is just truly mind-blowing to an ordinary American, where, as you said, the wages have really stagnated for people. Minimum wage has been stuck for years and years and years, let alone benefits being raided by these, you know, hedge funds and these, you know, corporate raiders. And so, you know, this idea that, like you said, if the rich are trying to get these tax cuts or keep them in place, you know, we really need to organize even more and redouble our efforts to basically restore some equity, actually restore real equity and progress a real progressive tax basis for this country, because that's what helped America thrive. That's what helped our economy thrive. Because when these billionaires are socking money away, they're not down at the local store spending their money. You know, if we have money in our pockets, ordinary people, we spend it in town. You know, if the money is coming into our communities, into our pockets, ordinary people spend it because we have bills to pay. We're not just like socking it away in some, you know, villa in Italy or some, you know, semi-Swiss bank account down in the Caribbean. We're spending it here in America, and that creates jobs here in America.
Absolutely. It's time to get out the shovel and dig up the policies of the good socialist president, Dwight David Eisenhower. It's time for us to revive the Eisenhower tax code. Clearly, the wealthy in this country have abused the privilege of buying our politicians. It's time we go back to a 92% top marginal tax rate, and we tax them basically out of existence. We should not have billionaires in this country.
Well, the other thing that is just outlandish, and what you're seeing, and like you said, the buying of the politicians, is when they've got a half a billionaire, a billionaire, you know, spending $1 million on a political campaign, you know, writing a $1 million check to eviscerate local public schools or to try to buy a school board, which is, you know, some of the work that AFP has done in Colorado, for example, in years past, to try to take over a school board. Like, that's nothing to them. $1 million is a lot of money for other people. When they have all this money, they can spend it to buy our politicians, to buy public policy that serves their interests and not our own. And so it's not just that it's terrible policy to have the tax policy that we have and not have one, like you say, going back to Eisenhower, or even, you know, that decade or the decade after that. The fact is that it's not just that they're keeping more money, they're using that money, some part of that money to basically completely distort public policy, so that policies like those in the Build Back Better plan, which significant majorities of Americans want and need, are stifled by politicians who are beholden to people like Charles Koch.
Which is why it's important that there are groups like yours doing the kind of work that you guys, that you have been doing for years now. The Center for Media and Democracy was one of the first places that I went to find the kind of information that I think is important on these state policy networks and how the money really flows through these back rooms and into these euphemistically named think tanks who push these horrible policies. So tell me the group that you're in charge of now, this True North Research. What are you guys working on currently?
Well, you know, we've been working on a lot of work around the dark money that's influencing the U.S. Supreme Court. The amount of money that's gone into these amicus briefs by these far right wing organizations, as well as the process to basically pack the court with the three people that Trump put on the court. And so the Supreme Court term began today. And, you know, one of the things we're looking at is how much of this dark money, in essence, is moving through these groups that are now basically creating the blueprint for these very far right wing justices. I think very unfair judges, people who were chosen in my view because they thought they would be unfair, because they thought they would roll back worker rights, roll back women's rights, roll back our rights to regulate corporations. Like, it is an agenda that actually Washington Post covered a couple of years ago in a piece by Robert O'Hara and Sean Boberg. It talks about how Leonard Leo, who everyone knows was, or people know, was the guy who was called the Trump judge whisperer. He was telling funders how we were at the precipice of a revolution in the law that had not been seen in 100 years since before the New Deal. Yep. And that they, you know, basically had the people in place to dramatically, radically change our law without any debate by us, without informing people about what their real agenda was. And he thought that they had the court to basically accomplish that. And now we're seeing those that unfold. And so a lot of my work right now is looking at the Supreme Court. We just had a decision earlier this year that went in favor of Charles Koch's Operation Americans for Prosperity to try to keep regulators from having access to knowing who the biggest donors were for some of these big nonprofits that are playing such a big role in our elections. And so there's a substantial amount of concern I have about how this Supreme Court is stacked to betray modern America and try to reverse decades of precedent under our feet. We're going to have a lot of organizing to overcome this Supreme Court.
No, you're absolutely right. And your audio went out a little bit. You know, it's one of those things where I've been talking about this for a while, and I'm glad that you guys are doing this. And the website, truenorthresearch.org, if you want to keep up with this. But in bringing up the Supreme Court, the reality is, you know, I agree. You know, they want to undo all of the 20th century and return us to the days of the Lochner era for an employment law and policy and undo the entire regulatory state so that, you know, if the wealthy have the money and the power to buy what they want, that's how it is. And the rest of us are, well, desperate, poor, where life is short, brutish, difficult and short. Where they want to return us to.
Yeah, I appreciate your mentioning that Lochner era, because that was an era in which the Supreme Court and other courts were very active in saying that the, quote, freedom of contract meant that employers could dictate terms that would overcome any public policy, basically child labor laws, overtime laws, worker safety laws. You know, this is in the era where we had the triangle shirt factory, where the women were locked in and died in that terrible fire. There were, 100 years ago, was not a very good place to be living as an ordinary person. If you were a worker, you had, you know, very little say about your workplace. You had no real security. And so this idea that Leonard Leo and his buddies on the court, his friend Brett Kavanaugh and others like Amy Coney Barrett want to, you know, are basically chosen to reverse the precedents that have protected workers, in my view, and protected people's human rights, in my view. It's a terrible circumstance. And I think this court is not trustworthy and is about to do a lot of things that are going to be very damaging. And the challenge is to not be defeated by their decisions, but to organize to overcome them, because that's what we're going to have.
Because what everyone's focusing on is everything's looking at Roe. And I'm going, while we're focused on Roe and that's a horrible thing and we've got to fight that, they're going to do everything else. Because ultimately, this is a corporate court before it's a cancel culture court or however you want to frame it, a culture war court. This is a corporate court. This was built to make the rich richer, to make the rich more powerful, and to make all the rest of us weaker. While all this other stuff is grabbing our attention, the shiny things, they're again robbing us blind.
That's right. You know, and it's interesting because Clarence Thomas has gotten a lot of mileage about his personal story of being from Pinpoint, Georgia, but he also was the Monsanto lawyer. And that Monsanto, the work he did for Monsanto, which is one of the biggest agricultural, you know, fertilizer companies in essence in the world, has a, you know, very troubling checkered past in how it's treated people in the U.S. and in other countries in terms of its products. That's who Clarence Thomas was, the Monsanto lawyer, not just the guy who, you know, Anita Hill said harassed her, who, by the way, that's how Independent Women's Forum got its start, was women, you know, women for Clarence Thomas. And they have called themselves independent. And even their head person, Heather Higgins, was quoted talking to some funders, talking about how it was so great that their name was independent because the people who know they're really, quote, conservative. I don't think they're really conservative. I think they're pretty far right. But the fact is that, you know, we have a situation in which Roe is clearly in peril. That decision is clearly in deep danger, but it is not the only thing that's in danger. And there's going to be a lot of focus on that. While they try to maybe push through other things that are equally radical but won't get as much attention. And in fact, I would say to you, Rick, that I think one of the things we're seeing is that I think the far right or the Republican right doesn't think they need Roe necessarily anymore to win elections. They're ready to be post-Roe. You see their talking points post-Roe because they think that they've managed to distort, in my view, this is my opinion, they've managed to distort the right to vote so that they don't need Roe as, you know, such a motivating factor. They can rejigger the maps, distort the maps, make it harder for people to vote, and so that they can prevail, even though they do not represent the majority view in America on almost any issue.
Yeah, they don't need to win on ideas because they're figuring out how to steal the elections while claiming the other side's doing it. But Lisa, thank goodness you're there. Thank goodness the True North Research is out there keeping people informed. And I hope you'll come back and share some more of this with us because it's really important stuff.
Rick, it's a joy to be on your show, and I'm glad to come on for True North and also as the president of Center for Media Democracy. We're doing our best to try to shine a light on things, and I know you are too. I so appreciate your show, and I so appreciate the chance to be on.
Thanks so much, Lisa. Good stuff.
Lisa
Graves, the executive director of True North Research. Make sure you check out their website, truenorthresearch.org. Going to take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.